Joining me now on the phone is my Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick. Hal worked with another good friend of mine, Ray Long, to write a story about Cook County officials who oversee property tax appeals taking contributions in excess of county ethics laws. Hal, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure as always, Rick, although it's a dreary morning.
I bet you had a hard time waking up this morning. Well, as always, thank you for joining me. Maybe you could kind of walk us through what exactly is going on involving these issues involving county ethics laws, campaign contributions, the property tax appeals process, because this isn't the first time this kind of subject has been broached.
No, as you noted, it was highlighted earlier this year, late last year, as Cook County Assessor Joe Berrios ran for re-election. And the issue is that the property tax appeals attorneys, the folks who largely represent wealthy commercial property owners, sometimes homeowners, who go before the assessor's office and go to what's known as the Board of Review, perhaps the least known county agency involved, to get their assessments lowered so their property tax bills are reduced, are the folks who contribute far and away the most in campaign money to Joe Berrios and the three elected members of the Board of Review. Now, back in October of 2016, the county board, because they were concerned about the idea that, if not the reality, that these attorneys are contributing money so that they can get more favorable treatment, you know, the quid pro quo, pay-to-play type of politics that Cook County, at least in the bad old days, was known for, limited those contributions to $750 per year or $1,500 in an election year. But basically, all of these four officials, Joe Berrios, the three commissioners on the Board of Review, there's one Republican, two Democrats who sit on that board, ignored those contribution limits and continued to take money in excess. And Joe Berrios was cited for that, and so were the commissioners last summer. All the commissioners gave the contributions that were in excess as defined by the Board of Ethics under the ordinance back to the contributors. Assessor Berrios said, no, I'm not giving it back. I don't think that that law is constitutional. And he continued to fight that through his failed, now as we know, failed re-election effort. But because he was in court, the court placed a stay on that. He continued to accept hundreds and thousands of dollars from these folks, using that money to wage his campaign, which Fritz Kagi ended up winning. The commissioners continued to accept the money, too, even though they'd given it back before, and which is what Ray and I just discovered. Ray did a Freedom of Information Act. He got this information from the Board of Ethics that they had accepted, continued to accept tens of thousands of dollars each in excess contributions from these folks, even after they'd been placed on notice last summer. And now they have until Monday between Assessor Berrios and then give back like $440,000 to these contributors. It's just an interesting issue in that I think that the assessor, everyone was well aware, but nobody knows about the Board Review. And if they can't, these property tax appeals attorneys can't get satisfaction or a favorable ruling at the assessor's office, they have the right to go to the Board of Review and get those commissioners to consider their case. So even if you've the new assessor who will the likely new assessor, Fritz Kagi, when he gets installed, he's promised not to take this money. You still got these three commissioners who might take the money, although they might be severely limited in that, but you still got this concern out there of pay-to-play politics.
Well, and certainly we saw how the issue of property taxes were highlighted in part by the Tax Divide series in the Tribune and the question about the fairness of the assessment method and concerns that commercial development paid less of the burden of property taxes, and that shifted the burden onto homeowners, generally homeowners in areas that where their property was not assessed correctly.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and the line from especially Assessor Bass and from the three commissioners is always that, well, if it is, we didn't get it right in the first place, you can come and appeal it. But what that Tax Divide series showed was that the appeals actually made the system what they call more regressive, meaning more of the property tax burden as a result of those appeals was shifted from the wealthy to the less affluent, making the system even less fair.
Because it was dependent on the property owner, a residential property owner, to try to navigate their way or pay for one of these property tax appeals attorneys. And the property tax appeals attorneys get a, typically if they win that appeal, they get a percentage of the cut of the savings.
That's right, a significant cut. It can be a very lucrative business. And there's, you know, the ancillary issue, too, of some of the folks that are in that business, whether it be House Speaker Michael Madigan or powerful Chicago Alderman Ed Berg.
So, there. I mean, this was something that Joe Berrios had challenged in court. Where do we stand in the legal process on this?
Yeah, the court in the weeks leading up to the election ruled against Assessor Bass, which lifted the stay on enforcement by the Board of Ethics of this ordinance, which is why these notices went out in late March. They were free to again start citing people who had violated the ordinance. Berrios has appealed that case. He's looking, this hasn't been heard by the appellate court, to get another stay at the time. Interestingly, the one commissioner, when we tried, you know, to let them have their say when we did this story, the one who returned our call, Dan Patlack, Republican member of the board, said he continued to accept the contributions because he thought Barrios' case had merit, and he wanted to wait for the outcome of that case. We don't know if that's true for the other two commissioners, but perhaps that was what they were thinking. But now it goes to the appellate court, and I wouldn't be surprised if this went all the way to the Supreme Court to get a final determination as to whether these limits are constitutional or not.
Yeah, because we're kind of in this gray area of what we've seen with the U.S. Supreme Court rule on campaign contributions and money as speech kind of thing in Citizens United, but also at the same time, there was the right to restrict contributions when it was due to appearances of conflict of interest.
Right. There are some federal limits, despite you know what is Supreme Court that has decided that you know corporations are people and they've got the right to free speech and lifted certain other limits. But when there's a conflict of interest, there is a right to limit that. Whether that you know applies to this particular circumstance, we'll have to see.
We're speaking by Tribune colleague Hal Dardick. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined on the phone by my Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick. Hal and fellow reporter Ray Long wrote a piece about the Cook County officials who oversee property tax appeals taking contributions in excess of county ethics laws. And Hal, one more thing on this topic I wanted to ask you is, what are the law firms that gave the money? What do they say for their reasons for giving?
That would be a good question. We contacted.
Well, you asked it. I know you asked the question.
yes, we did. There were more than 45 of these firms that we didn't call them all. What we did was we took the six that we discovered had given to not only the six of them gave to all four officials, the assessor, Barrios, and all three commissioners on the Board of Review. We contacted the top attorneys at each of those six firms. None of them would go on the record to speak about this, so we can know specifically what they're thinking. They, for whatever reason, didn't want to talk to the Tribune about the excess contributions. The questions we had is, do you hope to get something from these contributions? Do you hope, why did you, were you aware of these limits, so that we couldn't get any answers on it. Interestingly, of those six, there were four of them that gave to not only the three or the four officials, but they gave basically twice to Joe Barrios, once to his reelection committee, and another time to the 31st Ward Democratic organization that he also controls.
Spreading the money around the infield, as it were.
Yes.
Let's shift gears here a little bit. Speaking of Joe Barrios, he is no longer going to be the Cook County Democratic chairman, and a number of people have expressed interest in the job. I would say most notably is Cook County Board Chairman Tony Preckwinkle.
Right, yeah, they're going to have their internal Cook County Democratic Party elections on Thursday. So it was interesting that Joe Barrios, of course, suffered a defeat, decided he's not going to run again for chairman of the party. Meanwhile, Preckwinkle, despite the controversial and now repealed pop tax last year, did well in her election, and the candidates she backed did very well, with the exception of Joe Barrios. And so she's going to run. I don't think it's a big secret at this point that by all accounts folks expect her to become the new chairman. The big question that comes up at this meeting is what will she do in an era where patronage politics is even further weakened than ever and can't necessarily deliver the votes. Joe Barrios is the prime example. When election time comes, what will she do or propose to do to retool the party, and who will she pick to serve, or who will the party pick, the 80 committee men, to serve on that executive committee with President Preckwinkle, and what will they do to change a party that's less effective come election time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that seems to be, with a new chairman, points to time of change, but at the same time, the change on the outside has been happening very rapidly. And what is the future of the Cook County Democratic organization? Now, obviously, machine politics aren't anywhere near what they were decades ago. But when you have kind of a Democratic Party that's also struggling to find its way, like the Republican Party is, but a Democratic Party where it has kind of counted on organizational strength before, but finds itself facing kind of more of an insurgent, progressive, left-leaning side to the party, and perhaps even a younger side of the party, where does she take the party forward?
Exactly. I couldn't put that any better. You had the, of course, Chuy Garcia isn't one of these young guns, but he's always represented progressive ideals, and the young folks that he supported in the last election did very well against the people that were backed by what's left of the machine. And you've got to somehow harness, I think, what they're bringing to the party, which is a different style of politics. It doesn't depend on patronage, but engaging people through issues and find a way, I would suppose, for more traditional, perhaps more conservative Democrats and the progressives to work together, find common ground. As we all know, you know, that's been tough in the Republican Party with the Tea Party influence, and I think some people might characterize the progressives as sort of the Tea Party of the left, although I don't know that that description is apt, but I think I've heard that thrown around.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see exactly how. And there's also, obviously, and you mentioned Chuy Garcia, there's the diversity angle as well, and the growing role of Hispanics in Democratic Party politics. Hal Dardick, political and investigative reporter, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure as always, Rick. Thanks for having me.